This is not enough. Just remember, Jesus sat at the well with the Samaritan woman. He told her the good news. She went and told her friends, told her family. They all came back. That one person, she told one person, changed the world. Hallelujah. You tell that one person that you think maybe needs to hear the word and watch what God does. What a place to be in His hand. Hallelujah. Joanne, if you would just bring us into church on this beautiful Sunday morning in June. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Second Congregational and beautiful downtown Derby, Connecticut. You can edit that out later. This week I read a little bit from this book. I'm going to read one today. I found this book for $2 in an airport. You never know where you're going to find God. Amen. You never know in the places you'd least expect. This is just a fascinating little book that I read and just amazing, because like I said last week, I had a friend who said this book would never help me. It has helped me through my life more than I can tell you. A friend said that this book is obsolete. There's nothing in this book that matters. Amen. And I want to prove to you day and night and weekly that this is not true. Listen to this. Long before medical science discovered the importance of quarantine of persons with infectious diseases, the Bible instigated them. In 1490 BC, the scriptures tell the children of Israel what to do if a man has leprosy. Listen to this. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. That's in Leviticus. This is in Leviticus. Laws of quarantine were not instigated by modern man until the 17th century. During the devastating Black Death of the 14th century, patients who were sick or dead were kept in the same room as the rest of the family. People often wondered why the disease was affecting so many people at one time. They attributed these epidemics to bad air or evil spirits. However, careful attention to the medical commands of God, as revealed in Leviticus, would have saved untold millions of lives. How many lives? Untold millions of lives. Arturo Castelloni wrote about the overwhelming importance of this biblical medical law, saying, "The laws against leprosy in Leviticus 13 may be regarded as the first model of sanitary legislation." Hallelujah. That was in the Bible. If somebody knew the words of God when that disease came, if somebody knew just what it was in Leviticus, millions of lives could have been saved. Amen? With this book. Not obsolete, is it? Hallelujah. This book saves lives. Praise God. How are we doing this morning? So many testimonies. Marsha, I didn't mean to give you a testimony. But you know, when you see God in everything that happens in your life, it's easier to see Him. I mean, that sounds silly to say it that way, but the more you spend time with God, the more you give Him praise and glory, the more you talk to Him, the more you realize He's in your life all the time. Amen? He's a good God. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day we are blessed with today. We give testimonies to encourage other people. We give testimonies maybe because something that you went through is something somebody else is going through. Amen? Lifts you up. Somebody else says, "Hey, that's what I'm going through." And then you say, "Well, God got me through it." And you say, "Hey, if God got him through it, God can get me through it." Amen? That's why we give testimony. That's why you need to talk about God. That's why I told you when we were singing, Jesus told one person. He told the woman at the well. Ooh, such a beautiful story. Nobody was talking to her. Nobody talked to the Samaritan woman. He sat and talked to her, told her about the good news, amen? Told her about the living water. She drank that water, went and told her family and told her friends, and they all wanted that, and they all came to Jesus, amen? Telling one person changes lives of many. That's our God, amen? That's the way our God works. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. We'll play a little choir music here. Jeremy, thank you. Hallelujah. Don't forgo the testimonies. Don't forgo telling your family and friends the beautiful things that are in your life, the things that God is doing, blessing you with a job, blessing you with family, blessing you with friends, blessing you with health, blessing you to do things that you enjoy doing. Those are gifts from God. Hallelujah. Tell them that God gives you peace in time of trouble. Tell them that God gives you comfort in times of pain and trouble. Tell them to go to church on a Sunday. Find a church where people have joy. People want to talk to one another. People lift up one another. We don't yell at one another. We don't burden each other. We lift each other up in fellowship in this church. And every church lifts people up. Lifts them up. Makes them stand up and say, "I can do it because God is with me." That's the testimony. When we pray for America, when we sing "God Bless America" later, we're asking God to touch people in this country, to touch hearts in this country, because that's how things get changed. We wait for the big miracle. We wait for the explosion. We wait for the rain. We wait for the fire. And God is saying, "No, no, it's in your heart. You light the fire in your heart. I'll do the rest of the work. I'll do it. You light the fire inside yourself. That changes hearts. People are lost. You see it. You see it all the time, the disasters in this world. You see the evil in this world. You see children who are lost doing things you can't imagine. It's because they have the hope is gone. Their dream is not there. They need something brighter to hold on to take their mind away from the darkness. They need God. Yeah, that's simple. If they just love Jesus and just walk with Jesus, their lives and the lives around them and other people would be changed. God is so beautiful. He's our God. He's our Father who art in heaven. We want things on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way we dream. That's the prayer. That's the love. That's God. Lord, these testimonies, Lord, that these things that we share are all about you for other people to believe and hold on to. And the small things, the insignificant things to somebody else that was so large, like the tire for Marsha. Other people said, "Oh, yeah, walk away." And Marsha's saying, "No, God did that for me. with food on your table. Say, God did that. Tell your children, God is providing for me in ways I could never imagine. And they'll say, I want to taste that. I want that. God changes things. The testimonies change things. This church changing things. People came to speak. You don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. Look at the work in the yard. The hours. Measuring. Making sure that things were perfect. They didn't have people standing there clapping. Every time they put a host in, people weren't clapping. Hey! No, they were doing it for God. This church, God will bless them, but they love it. They love what God is doing for them, and they want to do for God. People gave those hostas. And a business. Imagine that. Businesses are for money. Gotta make money. No, the business said, no, if I give, God will give back to me. I want to give out of my heart to bless. We've been blessed. Second congregation is being blessed. Look around outside and see the love that is growing. That's God. Changes things. God changes things. We just simply need more of God in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to grow daily with you as a family. Those that aren't here today, Lord, let them know we need them here. We need them here, Lord. They need to be here. They're our family. We miss them. They need to be here, to share the word, to share the love, to share, to encourage each other. We don't need to let them fall back, Lord, so we pray for them. Those on a trip, we just ask you, Lord, to bless them for the beautiful time that they have. Lord, you can come back and tell us their testimonies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Just more of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Relax, enjoy, amen. Enjoy church today with me. Would you do that? I'm just excited. Hallelujah. I'm going to start from the end. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Oh, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. Who appeared to them? Hallelujah. Talking with him. They were talking to him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And he said, if you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Three altars that we can pray to them. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Hallelujah. Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Imagine that. The night he was taken in the garden, he's transfigured, and Moses and Elijah. Must have been special, those two, huh? First of all, Moses represents the law, amen? Moses brought us these, amen? Elijah represents the prophets of God. Could anybody here, you think you could be Elijah? Anybody? You know, they came and saw Jesus. If I said to you, could you be Elijah, and nobody raised their hand, I tell you that you all should raise your hand. You all can be Elijah. You all are Elijah, amen? I just love the story of Elijah, talking about Elijah. Hallelujah. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. Oh, let me start here. you, Lord. You could be Elijah. You could be the one standing there with Jesus. How about that? You can be that. Say that. I can be that. Tell you, hallelujah. The once great nation of Israel turned into a land divided, not only physically, but spiritually. And although they had a God's laws, they had these laws and experienced His presence, they became attracted to other gods. They began to worship false gods, power-hungry, serving their fleshly desires, cruel and self-wants ahead of God's laws. Amen? They weren't serving other gods. They were serving their desires. Amen? That's what their gods. That's where their heart was. The prophets' responsibility was to confront and correct any deviation from God's laws. His message and miracles were a warning to both the rebellious kings and to the people. Solomon is anointed king. We're in the book of Kings. Solomon is anointed king. He eliminates opposition. He does it. He builds the temple. He establishes a strong army to protect the kingdom and becomes the richest and wisest king in the history of Israel. What is he? The richest and the wisest. Who wants to be rich? No, really, who wants to be rich? I know y'all, it's okay to want to be rich as long as you got a heart to serve God and use it the right way. Amen? You're not searching for money. But he was rich and had the wisdom. Why? Because he followed God. Amen? Not because he was special in himself, but because he followed God. Hallelujah. His unbelieving wives, and there were many, turned his heart from the one true God to false gods. Amen? That was Solomon's destruction. After Solomon's death, you see, he married all these women. He married women from all sorts of different religions and all sorts of different lands. And he married, and he loved them all. He wanted, and so this one wanted to build an altar to this God. And this one wanted, and he did. And he built it, and he forgot. He forgot the first thing. Who did he forget? Hallelujah. After Solomon's death, the northern tribes revolted, forming two separate nations. Each nation experiences disaster consequences from having evil kings. Now, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than any who were before him. King Ahab, say that with me, King Ahab. Hallelujah. His wife, her name, Jezebel. It's a name you hear a lot these days. Some, you know, they call some woman a Jezebel, his wife. Hallelujah. Now Elijah, the name Elijah means my God is Yahweh. And Baal, the word Baal we're going to read means master. And Baal worship as many gods. It was fire, the god of rain, the god of thunder, the god of fertility, the god of agriculture. Whatever that desire was, that was a Baal. That was called a Baal. Amen? Hallelujah. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, now who's Isaiah? Elijah is the prophet, comes to the king and he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. He's telling the king, from this point on, it's not going to rain, and you're not going to have any dew on you, nothing. And the king looks at him and is like, well, who are you? You're just a god. We worship, we got all these other gods, the god of rain, the god of thunder. He said, no, according to my God. Amen? Now, I'm going to skip a little so that I keep this story in context. Hallelujah. But you don't have to skip if you're reading your Bible. It's in 1 Kings. Hallelujah. And it doesn't rain. And it says in 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. How many years? 3 years. It doesn't rain for 3 years. Now you got the king. Now he went to the king, and he told the king, it ain't going nothing until I come back. So God tells Elijah, you'll go send rain. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. And Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was when, listen now, what Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. She killed all the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and he fed them. Now the king's wife was a Baal worshiper, and she had all the prophets of God killed, murdered, amen? Except Obadiah was faithful to God, amen? And he took 100 of them, took 100, and he hid them in caves, and he fed them, make sure they had bread and water. All that time, he took care of that. How many of them? 100 of them, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the king says, Go into the land, and the king says to Obadiah, go, look for water. Maybe you'll find some water. Maybe we need help. We're in trouble. Amen?
Hallelujah. I love this. This is one of my favorite stories.
Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" Hallelujah. Obadiah knew immediately, and he answered, "It is I." And this is what Elijah said. He says, "I want you to go back and tell your master that I'm coming, that you met me and I'm coming and I'm going to meet him today." And Obadiah says, "Are you crazy? Do you know what this guy's doing? He sent people searching for you everywhere and they said they can't find you, and then they come back and he kills these people because they can't find you." He said, "I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go tell the king you're coming, and then God's going to take you somewhere and they won't be able to find you, and he's going to kill me. Are you crazy? I can't do that. I love you, Elijah, but don't make me do it. You want me to go? He's going to never believe it."
Hallelujah.
He says, "As the Lord lives, God lives, there's no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent somebody to hunt for you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, "Go tell my master, Elijah's here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I don't know. So when I go tell Ahab and he can't find you, he'll kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord." He's saying, "Elijah, listen, but I feared the Lord from your youth." Listen to this. This is important. He says, "Was it not reported to you, Elijah, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men from the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here? He will kill me." Then Elijah said, "As the Lord host lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." So Obadiah finally went and met Ahab and told him. And Ahab met Elijah. Hallelujah. He did what he was asked to do. Amen. He did what he was asked to do. And hallelujah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, the king says to Elijah, "Listen to this. Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" He blamed Elijah for the trouble. All the bad things he was doing and his wife was doing had nothing. It was Elijah's fault that it didn't rain. Amen. How many times we blame God for things that happen? How many times you see blaming God? "Oh, I'm blaming God. God caused the tornado. God did." Hallelujah. Listen to what Elijah said in the end. It's, by the way, it's Elijah, not Kalijah. By the way, George, let me get that. And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Baals." Remember what I told you what the Baals were? Gods of fire, gods of rain, gods of thunder, agriculture. "Now therefore," listen to what he says, and this is the part, this is so exciting. He says, "Send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. He's saying, "Okay, king, I want you to go back and I want you to bring all your Baal worshippers with you. Bring your wife's Baal worshippers. Bring everybody who sits at the table with your wife and gives her all that advice. I want you to bring them. Bring them to me and on the mountain with all of Israel." Hallelujah. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" He's looking at the people now saying, "Are you out of your mind? How long are you going to do this?" And he said, if the Lord is God, he said, "Follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Why would you think that was, that the people didn't answer him? I'll tell you why. Because they kind of liked what they were doing. They kind of liked that they could play around over here and they can play around. You know, life was kind of all right and they were getting, you know, benefits here and they were enjoying, you know, they were enjoying not actually following this, but following their own. So when he said that, they're thinking, well, you know, life's pretty good. Maybe I'm going to let this play out a little further. And they didn't say a word to him. Hallelujah. Now listen to what Elijah says. Remember when I said you could be Elijah? I want you to understand, he was just like you. If he took a knife and cut his arm, guess what? He's going to bleed. Amen? He was a man. Amen? A man who loved God. But listen to what Elijah says. He said, but the people answered not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord." He
just got through talking to Obadiah, who told him how many people. But see, even in our Christian life, sometimes we think we're the only one. We think we're alone. Elijah thinks he's alone. He's telling him, I alone, I'm the only one left doing God's work. Hallelujah. We got different people in different religions thinking they're alone doing God's work. Amen. When the truth of the matter is they're our brothers and sisters. Amen. Searching for God, working for God. Amen. That's the truth, because this Bible is true. Amen. Whatever religion you are, it's beautiful if you're searching for God. We're all family. Amen. It's us who build these walls. So Elijah, I'm the only one. He said, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, and this is my one of my favorite Bible stories. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get two bulls. He said, we're going to sacrifice your bull here. You do, and I'm going to take my bull over here. And he said, I want Baal's worshipers, I want you to get your bull. I want you to prepare for offering to God. I want you to set it up any way you want to set it. I want you to do it. You pick the bull you want. It's all yours. You go right ahead. And you do it first. Hallelujah. So they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning and even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leapt around the altar which they had made. You want to see a movie, you want to know, how many times you want to hear God win? How many want to know that God wins? This is a story, I'm telling you, this, hallelujah. And it's going to come back to you, hallelujah. And so it was, at noon, Elijah began to mock them. Cry out loud, he said. Elijah said, why don't you cry out loud, for he's a God. He said, maybe he's meditating. Maybe he's busy, or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and you've got to wake him up. That's what Elijah said. So they cried aloud and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them, it said. And when midday was past, they prophesied until time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Amen? Nobody answered, because why? There's no God. Amen. It was self that they were praying to. It was a self-belief. Amen. It was that, not God. Hallelujah. Then, this is where you get excited with me. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me. So all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And listen, he took those 12 stones and upset some people. You know why? Because I told you the nation had been divided. There were 10 tribes in the north and the 2 in the south, and they thought that they were different. Amen. They thought somehow they separated themselves. When he put the 12 stones back together, he was bringing the nation back together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 bags of seed. And he put the wood around it. And he cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled the water pots. And he said, pour it on the bird's side. Now he's pouring water on it. Okay. Then he says, do it a second time. Amen. They did it a second time. And what's he saying? Do it again. Pour water all over. I want you to soak it so the water is here. I want you to soak it. They did it. They did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. He also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet of who? Whose God? Hallelujah. Came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God of Israel, and I am your servant. Who are I? Who are we? We are all his servants. Amen. Nothing different. Hallelujah. And that I have done all these things at your word. I stood my ground. I didn't apologize. I stood my ground, and I did your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.
And this is where, when you get to love God and you get to see, this is where you stand up and start cheering. This is the victory. This is what you pray for every day when you see violence in the world. Hallelujah. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them all. Hallelujah. The fire came down, amen? Burnt it all up. In the name of who? Your God, amen? Elijah called them out. Elijah saw that. He was right there. You say, but how can that still be Elijah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said he wanted all the Baal worshippers killed, amen? Why? Why all of them? Because he knew, God knew that if he let two or three go, or four go, guess what they would do? Guess what they would do? They would continue. Amen? They would continue in their evil ways. So he ordered them to kill all 450 of them. Now Jezebel, let's get back to Jezebel, she finds out about this and she's furious. Because all the people who just worshipped her and who did what she wanted and just gave her everything that she wanted, she just finds out that Elijah killed them all. So guess what she wants to do? She wants to kill Elijah. Really? Now, Elijah just had all that miracle, amen? He's pretty strong. He knows God. You think he was worried? Would you be worried if, after all that, after all the things that God did for Elijah, would he be worried? Well, he was. I'm sorry to tell you. This is where I'm telling you. It's going to come back. I'm saying, hallelujah. Ahab, Joab, Jezebel, all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets of the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And first I say, what God? Jezebel, what are you talking about? You're just feeling there's no God. Somebody, but no. And when he saw that, when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left the servants there. He ran away. There's other miracles in this story that I bypassed to keep this story together. He ran away. But he himself went a day's journey. He went even farther into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father." He said, "Lord, take my life." Why? "I am no better than my father." Here you are. Here's where it's coming together. Amen? He said, "I did all this. I'm preaching the word. I'm showing God miracles, and they still don't get it. They still want to kill me. They still want, no matter how many times I told people about God, they still want to kill me. I am no better than Moses. I'm no better than the people before me because they preached about God and they failed. The people didn't gather on this." He said, "I fell short. I'm no better than my faith. Here I did all these things, Lord. I've been praying for people. I've been believing for people, and they don't get it." Amen? They don't get it. And he's tired, and he's afraid that somebody's something, he's going to be killed. Amen? It's like a pastor preaching every Sunday for people, teaching people, lifting people up, telling people that God can change your life, and seeing God change people's lives, and one day they decide, "I don't want to go to church anymore." Am I supposed to give up? Elijah wanted to die. He said, "I'm no better than my fathers." How many family members have you told about God? "I told them twice. I told them three times." And you say, "I give up. Why am I as well quit?" Amen? That's what Elijah did. He wanted to quit. He said, "Look at what I did." And the children, your friends see life changing. And they see that and they still say, "I don't have time for God. I mean, that's like something now. I don't have that. It's obsolete. Oh, that book's not going to help you." Amen? This is where you and Elijah come together. This is where you could have been on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Amen? Here's Elijah. After all that, after that, he's saying, "You know, I just failed. This is just not worth all this. And I'm just like my father. And my father's before me. I'm no better than my father." And he lay under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Then he looked around there by his head, and a cake was there, baked on coals in a jar of water. And he ate and he drank, and he laid down again. I'm going to get him here. What did God do for Elisha first? After all the miracles, after all the work you've been doing, you think about all the things that you did, all the hard work you're doing, and something bad happened, he was afraid, he ran alone. What's the first thing that God made him do? Rest. Rest. He said, I know you've been through a lot, Elijah. I know it's been rough. Sometimes when you're spiritually spent, when you've worked hard, when you think that things should be really good and something bad happens, sometimes you get so like Elijah and you want to quit. And God said, no, I'm with you. But first of all, you need to rest and eat, like we're going to do later. You need to eat. The angel said, no. And then he went back to sleep, and then the angel woke him up again and said, here, no, you didn't eat. Eat a little bit more and rest a little longer, because I have more work for you to do. Amen? God sees how hard you're working. He sees when you tell people. You say, you know, I've been telling this person, I'm so sick and tired of telling this person. God said, how many times was I sick and tired of hearing you tell me you don't want to know me? How many times am I sick and tired of hearing you say words out of your mouth that I don't want to hear, but I love you today and I love you tomorrow, and I'm just asking you not to do that. I mean, your things and your thoughts, the lives, and maybe you didn't forgive somebody. You said, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. How many times you haven't forgiven somebody, and he said, you know, I forgive you every day. I'm just waiting for you to forgive that person. How many times we do that to God? Amen? Hallelujah. No, not this God. Our God's a great God. Amen? Gives us that rest. First thing he said, you need to rest. You need to get strong again. He's saying, Elijah, I'm just going to get you nice and strong, because you've been through spiritual battles. You've been through a lot. And sometimes when you're faced with all that, you get tired. Amen? You get weak. And when you're weakest, that's when the devil can attack you the best. Amen? When you're tired and weak, he can attack you right here. Amen? He can't do it here, but he can do it right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elijah says to God, an angel, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. He said, I've been working, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. And he's saying, God, I've been working every day because the people have walked away from you. I've been working every day. And you can say, I've been telling my friends every day. I've been telling my family every day, Lord. And it's just not working. He said, I'm trying. He said, they tore down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And he said to God, I am alone and left, and they seek to take my life. Sounds like a pity party. What would you say? You want a little cheese with that wine, man? But it's true. And he wasn't alone. God would tell him in a minute, listen. Now listen to this. Then he said, God said, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. And Elijah went out and stood in the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after, hallelujah, after the fire, a still small voice. What does that mean? It means sometimes the churches look for the big hallelujah parties, amen? It means that sometimes we're waiting for God to send down the fire and the thunder. It means that some people are just waiting for God to do these giant miracles, when God says, you know, sometimes I am. God will say, sometimes I have to perform those miracles. He said, but between you and me and Elijah, it's that small still voice. He's saying, that's where I am. He's saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. When you're alone and you start talking to God, he starts telling you something. He starts leading you, giving you an idea. And that small, still voice, when you're quiet, that small, still voice, you start hearing God. You hear your thoughts becoming spiritual. You feel the Holy Spirit inside you. This isn't feelings where you just... It's that you know that you know, amen? That you know that you know. And you start hearing from God. See, a lot of people are waiting for the fire. They're waiting for the thunder. And God's saying, I'm not in that. I'm not in the church being on fire from everybody screaming and leaving and forgetting what they heard in church, amen? I'm with you. You are Elijah.
When you feel like giving up, Elijah felt like giving up. But God says, I'm going to provide the energy. Amen. I'm going to do the miracles. God keeps telling us, you plant the seeds and walk away. He said, that's my job. Amen. You could have been on that mountain with Jesus. Can you imagine what the disciples saw? Moses and Elijah in heaven, there with God. And it proves one other thing. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Moses and Elijah were with him. You're going to be with him. You're going to see. Now you have a chance to do so much more. In that still voice, get alone with God. Sometimes get quiet. Sometimes get some rest. Get some peace. Find a place in the yard where you can sit. Find anywhere. I'm telling you that when I'm alone more, I hear more. Amen. Give God praise and glory. You are all Elijahs. Praise God. You are all servants of the Lord.